The musicians have put together a medley honoring 4th of July, you know, Independence Day and the freedom we have in our country, what we enjoy here. I'm convinced it's rooted in the religious freedoms that people really established 400 years ago. There's some amazing things that have happened in this nation, and I'm grateful to be part of it. Having just come from a former communist nation, it sure is great to get in this environment and see just how much blessing, how much abundance, what we oftentimes take for granted. It's just really pretty cool what God's done. So I'm going to have them play these guitar and song, and I think it'll encourage you, hopefully inspire you about how blessed we are as a people. God's blessed our nation, and I'm thankful for it. You know, there are a lot of cynics that kind of belittle the idea of being grateful, being patriotic, but hey, I'm just glad to be here, man. I just came from places where they're driving car bombs up into airports and stuff like that. I'm just glad that God has brought a blessing into our land, and I pray it's sustained. I just came from a place that has dealt with poverty and oppression, with sort of the devaluing of individuals, some of the principles there that failed, and the emerging of these nations just sort of coming back up under their feet. We have much to be grateful for. I think we take it for granted, and then I think we're even belittled if we get into a patriotism or a flag waving because we think it's sort of politically incorrect. But let me tell you, I'm grateful for the believers that came over to our nation 400 years ago and started just basing it on principles out of God's word. I have no apology. I would attribute every good thing that's going on in this nation to those beginning founding fathers and their principles of walking with God, of humbling and walking humbly before the Lord, preferring your neighbor, you know, working heartily unto the Lord. These principles out of the word have produced abundance and have produced a blessing. So I'm grateful for it. So with that, let's enjoy it. Thank you. That inspired me. You may be seated. Thank you, musicians, for a beautiful job, man. That's encouraging. Wow, nice. We just did a really amazing outreach in Kosovo, and Pete, who is one of our key guys in the church, came up with a strategy because he realized that with JUMP, with our outreach for children in Kosovo, that we're reaching a lot of young people, but the teenager population wasn't allowed to do anything. So what he did is he said, hey, let's make, they love soccer, and he has he owns a soccer place over there with Tony O'Fallon. He said, hey, let's make some soccer tournaments. So I think they had 90 teams playing, and it was incredible. And David was over there with his two kids, and he was running the sound, and he looked over at me after the altar call, and he said, something's different this year. There was such a quality of the presence of God, and I know it was attributable to the fact that people prayed, but it was also the sweat equity of so many people spending so much time over there. And as a result of this, what's happening in that nation, it's going to spread to the other nations, Macedonia, and up there in Bosnia and all around through Albania, and I believe that. This is actually a region where Paul the Apostle preached. He called it the uttermost parts of the earth. So I just thought it was significant. I mean, it may not mean much to you in the daily life you're going through, but I just thought you should know the gospel's being preached in an interesting way out of this place. There are results. And I remember speaking to the first group that went over there. They were scheduled to go down to Zimbabwe and help build a church down there, and we had been serving down there. And then I canceled that trip, and I asked that those guys would switch and go to Kosovo, to a war zone. And I think like 90% of them said yes, and they came. They labored in the sun, and they got so sunburned. Dan, who just led worship, his whole Irish face was all burned. His nose was all peeling. And then his eye, the whites of his eyes were the same color as his skin. It was really a sight. And while I was standing there in this little room, I gathered them together because I could see the morale was low. And I said, listen, you don't see this yet, but there will come a day where there'll be such breakthrough and so many people will be saved. And you don't see people getting saved right now. You're just building a roof, but it'll translate into this whole other thing. And I'm telling you guys, it's amazing what God is doing over there. And it's just the beginning. So I'm believing God for that part of the world to never be the same. And I'm praying that your part of the world will never be the same. I pray the power of God hits you today in a way that is most practical. In fact, I want to pray and then I want to go right into the Word. Father, I thank you for your Word. I pray that you'd illuminate our path and shine light on us. I pray you'd nourish our spirit with a sound Word of God. I pray that in spite of jet lag and so forth, you'd speak a word through me by your grace that would be beneficial for the people here. I pray people would come to know you, Lord Jesus. I pray there'd be a great, great breakthrough in this place. And I thank you for helping us as a people to get to the next level of what you call us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Who have we been studying about the last several weeks? Joshua and Caleb. And the mantra, the thing that we've been looking at is, we shall by all means possess the land. Somebody was going to say, only be strong and very courageous. But the fact of the matter is, it's both. And those guys had promises given to them. They had a target. And through their lifespan, they trusted God and they obtained what God had set before them. How many of you would say that appeals to you, that they're obtaining? I like the idea of effectiveness. I like the idea of accomplishment. I like the idea of progress. I like the word success. I thank God that He set patterns in the Bible to show us that He has given us promises and that there is a way to appropriate those promises. And I think about it in practical terms. We don't have to go drift off into some sort of mystical kind of ideals. We just need it in the here and now. We need to figure out how to parent our kids. We need to figure out how to process our time. And, you know, we need to figure out how to deal with our emotions and the imaginations that come to us and all the distraction that are raised against us. And we need to identify what God's called each one of us to do and rally around that purpose and press on and press in it in order that we might realize the fullness of God's will. God has a will and a purpose and a plan. Joshua and Caleb heard about it through Moses when he said, there's a land flowing with milk and honey, and I'm going to give you this land. They held to that. And that, my friends, is what sustained Joshua and Caleb through the entire course of their lives. They held to the promises of God. They recognized He was faithful. They recognized it wasn't just a bunch of hype. They knew God had said it. They trusted the word that came through Moses, and they held to it, and they realized the prize. And history has never been the same because they held to what God had called them to. I believe we're history makers. I don't think that's an embellishment. I believe God's called each one of us to make a substantial difference while we go through this life. It is God's desire that we make a difference in other people's lives. And like Caleb said about the promised land, he said, "We shall by all means go up and take possession of it, for we shall surely overcome it." So this is the language of the overcomers, these Old Testament people who got a promise from God and then held to it resolutely. And even through the delays and even through the incredible challenging circumstances, these were people that actually obtained the promise. And it is through faith and patience that we inherit the promises. There are certain promises laid out before us that just as Joshua and Caleb had a promised land, there are promises that God has in His word for us. Like, for example, it says, train up your child in the way they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart from it. And any of us who've been parenting for any length of time, we see that there are little hiccups along the way, and the kids test the boundaries and things. But we hold to that promise, and we believe God that they're going to land safely on their feet and make good quality decisions. One of the things that's cool about being stationary for so long in one place and pastoring for so many years is the advantage of seeing people go through processes and seasons. And I've seen that word come to pass time and time and time again. In fact, a lot of the leaders on this team, they're kids that kind of went through struggles or kind of had some, you know, little hiccups along the way, but they landed on their feet, and now God's using them to provide leadership for other people. It's pretty cool. I've seen it in my own kids. You see some of them that don't choose to test the boundaries, and then on occasion you have some that want to test the boundaries. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And but, you know, then you read about the prodigal son and how he came back. Or you read about the Philippian jailer. He said, you and your whole household shall be saved. Yeah. So you get hold of these promises and you trust God for them and you don't let them go. These are my beliefs and I take my stand on the promises of God. And that's what Joshua and Caleb did. And I want you to go to 2 Peter, because the beginning of this first chapter, Peter is explaining about God's promises. And basically, what I want to get over to you today is that whatever your situation, there is a promise from God to meet every need. Whatever your situation might be, God has a plan. God has a promise. When we walked into Kosovo, you know, the promise I held to is that God is near the brokenhearted. He didn't come to fix the people that are already all have it all composed and together. He came to fix hurting people. That's why God has led us over into Kosovo where there was ethnic cleansing. That's why God's leading us over to Cambodia where there was the Pol Pot killing fields where millions of people were executed. That's why we're marching down into southern Africa because people are dying because of AIDS. This is why we're going out into our culture and going into that entertainment world and going out into the youth culture to try to win people to Christ, because that's where there is a great need. Biblically, He said, go into all the world. There are promises. He said that He'll be with us and He'll confirm His word with signs and wonders. I'm looking for Him. I was thankful that on that meeting the other night on Wednesday, a lady came up to me and she said, you prayed for me to have a baby. Here's my baby. After 13 years of infertility, God moved in my life. I said, well, were you taking medicine stuff? She said, I tried all that. It didn't work. But God came through. Jesus brought change to me. Another man came up to me named Falone. He said, I was dying, and some of your Service International people came to my house and they prayed and the power of God came on me. They're telling me this in a smoke-filled pizzeria after a meeting. And he said, and it changed my life. And Jesus is now my Lord. Now he's got a business where he makes these stainless steel scouring pads. He's got a little basement, a little cottage industry. In fact, David did some training about a small business kind of ideas. And David is a Jewish believer, and Fatone is a Muslim. So here's a Jewish guy hanging out with this Muslim guy. They both come to terms with the reality of Jesus, and they're helping each other. It's cool, man. It's cool. And Fatone said he related to Israel because of the persecution, because there were people trying to exterminate them. It's just amazing. I mean, I'm in this environment where people are believing God for survival. You know, so I come back home into this, our world, and it helped me to see how faithful God was for those guys and how there are corresponding blessings for every problem we face. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at this for a minute. Everybody say, great and precious promises. They're great and they're precious because we need them, and the promiser is absolutely faithful. The reason I'm continuing on with the Lord is I found Him to be like no other in the universe. He is faithful. His word is true. It's awesome. And Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You know, knowledge is power. You've heard people say that. And it says that through the true knowledge of Him who called us, it says in verse 12 that about already knowing these promises. But see, there's something called grace and there's something called peace that will be multiplied to us, not just added to us, but multiplied to us in the knowledge of Him. Knowing Him puts us at a high advantage, and knowing the promises of God brings us into a place where in the midst of trouble, we know that there are promises that we can walk into that will sustain us. For example, while I was away, I had a call that one of our church members, Pat's mother, died. And not only that, but his wife, so a wonderful person in the church, got saved here, gone on a lot of mission trips, was at work and got beat up. And her jaw was broken and she had to have her jaw wired shut. I looked over in the first service and I saw a man who lost his mom this week and almost lost his wife. And I saw them standing tall. She's got black eyes. She dressed up, and they both dressed real color coordinated, standing strong in this third row. Now, what would do that? I mean, having experienced some of, I think, the highest level trauma you could face in life, the brutality of being mugged, robbed, and the loss of a mother. And there they were, and I went over to see them, and before I could open my mouth, you know, they said, God is good. You know, there was a resilience on them. And they weren't faking it. They weren't projecting something because they knew I needed to hear a certain thing. That they were being sustained by this precious and magnificent promises of God, that God's near the brokenhearted. Certainly, they qualify for that. And God's on them now in this time of need. Here's a girl who's got to have her jaw wired shut, and she went, like, don't make me laugh, kind of thing, because of the pain, you know. And I was just thankful for what did not happen. Yeah, that's right. But I was looking at another example of the precious and magnificent promises of God operating in two frontline, real-life people dealing with some stuff. Can we talk here? Because what I'm sharing and what I'm talking about with Joshua and Caleb, it sounds really great. It's great Sunday school material. It's rousing to the children. It's taking the land. It's facing giants. It's causing Jericho to fall down. But as you move through life, you realize there are a lot of walls and there are a lot of looming pressures and there are real issues that definitely parallel these stories. And apart from the cuteness of it and almost the mythology that people put around it, it's actually quite practical. Because what we're seeing is a faithful God sustaining people. And Joshua and Caleb, for example, were people who held to these promises. They identified them and they said, you know what, God said this and God is certainly true. And so we're going to hold to these. And this is what is going to be the very core value drive of our lives. Not the circumstances around us, not the overwhelming odds against us, but what God has promised is coming to pass in my life. I mean, I was sitting in church one day, I turned around and a lady, she had been praying for one of my kids. And when she said, it's going to be all right, I mean, it just flooded me with emotion. Because I knew this lady had been up on the mountaintop praying for my kid. It's as real gets, what I'm talking about. It's not theory, it's exciting because it's real. I watched in just a short period of time, miracles wave over the coast of our people. And that may not have much impact to you. It may not resonate with you because it might just be out of your radar. But it's a people group that got attacked. And in a city where 1,200 people, they couldn't find them. It was the greatest attack of the whole area. They tried to exterminate these people. You talk about hurt And yet now you watch healing. You watch the presence of God come in and people are coming to Jesus. What I think is there's going to be a great, great result where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And where this incredible darkness came, light is going to shine out of the darkness. And I don't think it's an exaggeration to believe that there will be a great, great awakening, a great move of God's Spirit in that place, out of that hurt, out of that trouble. God will take hold of even what looks like a devastating and awful situation, and He'll turn it around. Because we know biblically that one of the promises that we see in Romans 8:28 is that we know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Everything we're doing in the nations came out of us being flooded in 1993. Everything Joyce Meyer's doing to reach the world is coming out of a place of abuse when she was a child. Every bit of testimony I have about Jesus, I just shared with a girl today who's never been in church before, 20 years old, diagnosed with bipolar. None of the medicines are helping her. She's from a background where she's never even heard the gospel. As soon as she started to talk, I came from a point of advantage of where I was before I was saved. And my testimony had credibility because I referred to how broken I was before I came to know the Lord. You see what I'm saying? There's redemption in everything here, man. Even the stuff you don't think is cool in your life, God's going to work together for good, and He's going to translate it into a huge impact. Come on, man. This is exciting stuff. And I'll just get back to this verse because it speaks for itself. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Dare we believe it? That God's provision is thorough and it pertains to everything in this life and the life to come. Everything in practical terms and spiritual terms. Some of us are worried about our Christianity, but the Bible says right here that He's given us everything pertaining to godliness. He knows how to sustain us. He knows how to lead us forward. He knows how to strengthen us as a people. And it's pretty exciting, man. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. See, there's that true knowledge again. I was on the airplane coming in from Chicago. I was reading my Bible, trying to get ready for Friday night. This guy was sitting next to me. He said, hi. I said, hi. And we just kind of were crammed in this little regional plane. You know, it's like your feet have to bend in because of the like little cigar things. Like, guy looked at me. He said, what do you do? And I said, oh, I'm a pastor. He goes, oh. He said, I saw you reading your Bible. I read Colossians this morning. I said, I like Colossians. So we started striking up a conversation. And we talked about Jesus. And we talked about how powerful God's word is. And it's in the knowledge of Him. Through the true knowledge of Him. When you get to know about His promises, like Joshua and Caleb said, you know the word which the Lord spoke concerning us at Kadesh Barnea. Yeah. That was what propelled them into the promised land. I know the word about going into the nations and preaching. So when it came time to act on it, I knew that God would confirm His word with signs and wonders. And we're seeing signs and wonders. I know that God's near the brokenhearted. So when I see a girl who's been beat up in the third row at church a couple days later, I know what's going on there. The sustaining power of God is taking over. And instead of her now being victimized by the trauma and spending the rest of her life wounded by it, I know that she's going to get over it faster and better because God will sustain her through that loss. It's a real deal, and she's having to deal with it, and it is a process, but it's going to be sped up, it's going to be aided, it's going to be strengthened, and she's going to land on her feet, and she's going to have a testimony. As soon as those wires come off, we're going to hear a testimony. Come on. Now look at this verse. His precious and magnificent promises. John reads the French Bible when I'm preaching, and he told me that they're very precious. The most precious and the most magnificent promises. So in the French translation, it distinguishes it. The reason they're the most precious and the most magnificent is because of who's promising. Yeah. Because God is not inconsistent. He's the Lord and He does not lie. So we are banking our lives on unseen realities. We are absolutely on a sure footing. We are the most confident breed on the planet. we are the recipients of these promises. These promises that God's given us, there are blessings contained in these promises that as we, for example, when we pray, we believe we receive. So I prayed for this girl. I fully expect her to come to Christ. I fully expect her to be delivered. I mean, when we pray, we believe we receive. I fully expect when I give in the offering that God will be pleased by it and that He'll translate it into a supernatural impact in the world. I believe that when two or more are gathered in His name, there He is in our midst. I've been in this building when nobody's here. It's a different place. It's just a building. When you guys show up, there's a supernatural thing that takes place. Where two or more are gathered, that's He promises He'd be in our midst. That's why I love fellowship. That's why I love not forsaking assembly. That's why it's so important that we be together. That's why it fascinates me when you guys go through super hard times and you, instead of wincing or cowering or running away, you run right into it. That's a Joshua and Caleb type of response. Because you understand that the promiser is going to be there for you. Yeah. And He is absolutely faithful. And after all, we do have these beliefs. I believe the gospel is so powerful, we're going to see hundreds of millions of people come to Christ in our generation. Then instead of this people group all living and dying and going to hell, I believe we're going to see hundreds of millions of people get saved in our era. I believe nations are going to open up and they're going to stay open for us to step up and preach the gospel. And I believe, like from this church, God's not allowing us to be a self-indulgent, self-centered church. He's insisting that we take on what matters with Him and be outgoing and outward focused instead of just inward focused. And that's the way God's designed this particular church. And this is not a spectator environment. This is absolutely a participation environment. That's why it might not be for everybody. But the people that end up finding their way here and resonating in the vision, you fight a fight. You got to deal with it. You pay a price. But the price we pay is nothing compared to the grace of God that's always sufficient. He's got a plan, and He's designed us to be heads up about it and to know Him enough and familiarize ourselves enough with the Word that we actually have a good handle on these promises so that by these promises we could go out and fight the good fight and absolutely believe God. You know, yesterday I came to the prayer meeting and I was walking out of the parking lot and there's a mother in the car and I looked over and waved and there were tears in her eyes. She opened up the door. They don't come to our church. They've been driving around for 3 hours. Daughter, teenagers going through a crisis. And I was so tired, you know, jet lagged, I almost fell asleep when at home. So I decided I'm going to come to pray. And I was just numb. You know, those, if you've ever traveled and you had, I mean, your head could get numb from driving in traffic, but mine was numb from 20 hours of travel or whatever. So I was like, zzz. And here's this great need right in front of me. And I was bankrupt in terms of having quick response and wit and all that stuff and charm. But you know, wit and charm and quick response do not set people free. What sets people free is the power and promise of God. So I knew something about God. I thought, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I qualify for the big enchilada here. I need some help from heaven. And so as I stood there, I tried to pull up some of my resources, and I didn't have a thing to say. But then, you know, He said, open your mouth wide, and I'll fill it. This has happened to me with my parenting. This has happened to me with my kids. They'll say something that just stumps you, and I'll just look and I'll think, God, I need your help right now. Right now. God, now. I don't need patience now. I need it now, you know. And I've just listened and waited on the Holy Spirit, and He's so faithful. He said, if you lack wisdom, you can ask of God. He'll give you wisdom. And sure enough, God showed up in that moment. And that's what happens every time I step up in the pulpit. It's like, it's not like, hey, it's not this sort of performance of a moment. It's the presence of God that comes, that whom He calls, He equips. And He gives corresponding grace for every area of our responsibility. When we stepped up in Kosovo, they said, we want you to take this region, the United Nations High Commissioner of Refugees. I mean, this was serious stuff. This wasn't like, hey, you guys want to go out and, you know, be Boy Scouts and camp out in pup tents for a couple of days? This was, are you willing to do this? And we stepped up just, and we said yes, because we knew God had called us and we knew whom He called, He would equip. 29 years married, I've had to say, hey, God, excuse me, Patsy, oh, living God, I need the anointing power of God on the level that raised Lazarus from the dead right now. Patsy's needed that grace to put up with me. And God's given her that grace. That's why I applaud her for putting up with me for 29 years. And what has sustained us? God's grace. What's brought us to this point as a church? God's grace. What's kept you alive? God's grace. What brought you through the things that were designed to take you out? The power, the mercy, the grace of God. And what is it? It's multiplied to us in the knowledge of God. I had good teaching as a young Christian. First, I had some flaky teaching, and it really created some difficulty. But then I got in a strain of really good teaching. Good teaching about how powerful God is, the dynamic power of the Holy Spirit, the Word and its place in my life, that I could hold to it, that it's living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, that I could take hold of the promises of God and it could form the patterns of my life, that I could look at the promises of God and say, God, this is what I'm going to hold to no matter what the circumstances say. I look at Joshua and Caleb and think, if they can overcome Jericho and the giants, if David could stand up against Goliath, man, that God is my God. Not the success principles of how he picked up the smooth stones or how they blew the trumpets or shouted, but how they held to the promises of God in their particular course of life. We all have a course in life. We all have gifts differing. We all have a place in this world. So what I'm really talking about is you finding and identifying promises concerning your motherhood or your bereavement or your steps of business or area of ministry. Listen, Kosovo was Kosovo because Pete did the soccer and Dr. Ortnow did the dentistry and Bill did the prototype of the shelter and Ed found the where to get those dinged up garage door panels that we were able to go build little places for. And that, what did it do? It precipitated the presence of God in an area and it's opened up a door for us. You guys, you just watch what God does. Don't make me come down there. I'm telling you, it's on the precipice of a new move of the Holy Spirit. I'm believing God that where Paul ended up his ministry preaching, I believe we're going to pick something up and see this. We've had a Macedonian call into a part of the world. But not just there. God's called us into the cultural center. I've noticed that that whole area is being shaped by American entertainment. That's why I've been preaching there for 20 years to those people. And I believe in God for change in those areas. Not a bunch of cutesy Hallmark TV kind of cheesy stuff. It's got to have the very highest levels of excellence, highest levels of quality, highest levels of anointing. Because we got the greatest message on the planet, man. It's redemption. In fact, all these youngsters being raised in the church, I've determined I do not want them to have a bunch of religiosity. I want them to understand the precious and magnificent promises of God. And I want Christianity to translate in their lives where they go out into the secular college environment. They're not swayed by things falsely called knowledge. They hold to the conviction and the principles of truth. They understand who God is. I want to see married people in this church thrive. I want to see single people get a kick out of living. I want to see seniors just absolutely have so much vitality and zest that they live 15 years longer than everybody thought they would. I want to see kids rise up and get a hold of the gospel and change the world with it. But I frankly just want to see you guys win in the battles of life. These precious and magnificent promises are worth investigating. These promises, when held to, will produce amazing fruit. Seeing that it's all in the seeing, that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises. Everybody say precious, and magnificent. I'm telling you, there is something so amazing about holding to the promise of God, about standing firm on the conviction that what God's initiated, he's going to bring to pass. It apparently helped Joshua and Caleb to overcome discouragement. It helped David to look past all the circumstances and trust through the course of his life that God was going to see him through. You know, I pastored a long time and I've seen people come and go in God. I've seen people fall away from the Lord, grow cynical. Early on, I just asked God to help me not to do that. I asked him for two things when I first got saved. Deliver me from deception. I don't want to be in false doctrine. I don't want to get in cult stuff. And sustain me to the end. I didn't even know what I was praying. I was a 16-year-old kid. And I'm confident that what he's begun, he'll bring to pass. I look at Job's life and I see the trouble he had and then I see the last chapter and he said this. You know, he had to hold to some of the promises of God for sure, that guy. Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things. Say, I know that you could do all things. And that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Say that. And that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. See, that's why we've got to look for the purposes of God. Then the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed. I want to pray that the precious and magnificent promises of God will come to pass in every area of your life. I want to pray that the certainty of these promises will become very clear to you, and you won't vacillate, you won't veer off of the course of it. I've had times where I've grown weak in an area. Patsy's looked me in the eye and said, Jeff, we shall by all means possess the land, or something like that, and it's roused me. I like being in association with like-minded people who trust God, because at one point or another, we're going to need each other. We need to stand and hold each other's arms up, so to speak, and believe God for his purposes and breakthrough. Let me ask you a question. How many of you are in a place in your life where you're holding to some of the promises and they've kind of eluded you, but you are determined to hold out, see them come to pass? That's what I thought. See, that's what it says here about we have that same, we've received the same faith. That's why when I look at Joshua and Caleb, it's the same faithful God, and it's the same call to respond to his faithfulness. He's really responsible on his end. All he's asking us to do is have a little mustard seed of response and go, I believe you, God. It's like, good, I thought you would. I'm going to change the world through you now. That's how rambunctious God is from his end. He loves to see his creation respond to him in faith. Faith pleases him. Just a little mustard seed. It's just like, God. And he goes, yes. And we'll pray a prayer. God, help me. And he'll stretch it as big as heaven. Pour out Niagara Falls of blessing toward you. Some of you go, God, would you use me? And then just watch how God uses you. Peter said, Lord, if that's you out on the water, command me to come. And he said, come. And then he looks at the wind and the sea, which they kick up. It's interesting. He's out there and these big swells are happening. You know, there's a show called Deadliest Catch, but I mean, he was in some deadly waters at that point. It was like the Bering Sea. And he looked at the waves, he took his eyes off Jesus, and he started to sink. And Jesus said, Peter, come on. He picked him back up, and then they walked back to the boat with all the waves and everything. Imagine Peter kind of walking around these waves with Jesus, and he and Jesus are walking on the water. Imagine that. It had to be fast. A little walk and then a little, it wasn't like a 2 or 3 mile hike. It was probably just like out of the boat and in the boat, you know, but it happened. So that's enough for me, man. Bring it on, Lord. So we're called to a supernatural series of happenings. And I like the results. You know, the Bible says that we're to be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promise, not to be sluggish. And this, my friends, is what I'm exhorting you to today. Is to only be strong and very courageous, to shake off the unbelief and the doubt. Get back to a place where you say, okay, Father, I'm going to be one of these people that continues to respond to your grace. I'm going to trust you with a resolute faith. In fact, I pray God heals your resolute faith. It brings you back into a place of determination. You don't vacillate. You don't shrink back. You get so roused in your soul. The Kosovar people asked us to pray for them that they would be strengthened. Let's close by praying about that for everybody in this place. I pray a strengthening of might and power by your Spirit in the inner man. I pray that there would be a supernatural impartation of strength on the individuals in this place. Something that comes from God. I pray for the people who have been put at a disadvantage. People who feel so victimized by others. People who have been wounded. That there would be a great healing in this place. I pray for people who feel like their lives are spinning out of control. Father, I pray you intervene and do some extraordinary, supernatural help. I pray, God, you move mightily on these situations that are present here, Lord. I pray for those kids that are wayward, that they come back to Jesus. I pray for whole households to be saved. I pray for financial strategy for people to get breakthrough, to become highly productive and fruitful and successful. I pray for achievement and supernatural ideas to advance in the things of God. I pray for the activation of the miraculous power of God in people's lives. If you're not a Christian, I pray today you come to know Jesus personally. The lady asked me, how do I receive him? And I said, you call on him and confess him as Lord. I asked her if she knew what sin was. She said, no, I don't know what it is. This is the case. That we need to preach the gospel. People need to be saved. If you're not a Christian, I want to urge you to give your heart to the Lord. It's not about religion. I feel prompted to share this with you. It's not about just, oh, I converted to some religion. No, it's asking the person, Jesus Christ, who's the only one capable of saving you from sin and from hell, to come into your heart and be Lord of your life. And as in Kosovo, people responded and they gave their hearts to Jesus. I want to encourage you to receive the Lord today. Today is the day of salvation. Choose this day whom you're going to serve. I want to lead you in a prayer of repentance. We need to, you see, it's His kindness that's leading you to repentance. You may have been in church all your life. You may be like that girl. You may say, I have never been in church. There's an emptiness that only Jesus can fill. You need to get right with the Lord. You need to turn your life over to Jesus. God bless you guys. Some of you, this is first time. You're kind of not even knowing fully what's going on, but it's the Holy Spirit that's drawing you to true repentance. And some of you, you're rededicating your life and getting your back, and this is so important. Jesus can bring back a broken and wounded soul and bring you back, get you back on your feet. And if you've fallen away from the Lord, He wants to bring you back into deep fellowship, restore your fellowship. As I said, I had my 29th anniversary yesterday. I got attracted to my wife. We dated, we courted, but man, it was when we said I do at the altar that things became official. And there's something about stepping down the walk in the aisle that made us husband and wife, and an exchange of vows before witnesses, and an official kind of a pronouncement by somebody that had power vested in them. Well, listen, I'm a preacher. I'm called to preach good news to you. You're called to respond to it. So I think it would be beneficial for you to kind of step out of the boat and kind of get out of your comfort zone a little bit and basically out yourself and say, I am so serious about this hand-raising heart thing. I don't care what people think. I want Jesus. I just came from a nation where they're paying a price to be a Christian. And I just want to encourage you to step out. I think it's going to shake off some timidity and double-mindedness and help you get more resolute. You're stepping off, your ego is stepping off the throne of your life and you're saying, God, you know what? I can't do this. I need a Savior. I need God. And, you know, He may have always been dear to you as a child. Maybe some of you got away from that or it's become obscure to you. But basically what's happening right now is a thing called repentance, which means change, where you're saying, Jesus, I so much want You to be my Lord, my Savior. I need a supernatural change in my heart. I need my nature change. I need You to come into my life. That's really what we're here for. So I want to lead you in a prayer to just truly dedicate your heart to Him, to His will. And whether you're a kid or whether you've been around a while, the Bible says that if anyone is in Christ, he becomes a new creation. The old things pass away and all things become new. And that newness is just a gift. Homework. Find some promises corresponding to your situation. Take hold of them. Don't let them go. Believe God for those promises to come to pass. Hold them dear. Don't let the enemy dislodge them. Stand firm. Cast down those imaginations. Keep getting your mind renewed. If you need to cry, have a good cry. If you need to laugh as hard as you can. Have a great bunch of barbecue. And God bless you guys. Have a great 4th of July. We'll see you later.